You're watching Let the Quran Speak. We recently commemorated the sacrifice of Abraham with the celebration of Eid al-Adha. What sort of test did God place upon Abraham, and how did he respond to that challenge? We'll be looking at that now. Now, Brother Shabir, it seems like, we talk about the major sacrifice that Abraham made where he was called to sacrifice his son, but it seems like there are many other sacrifices that Abraham made throughout his life in response to God's message.
Yes, from the very beginning, he grew up in a community in which people worshipped idols, and some worshipped the stars and planets. And in that polytheistic environment, he had to preach monotheism, and he ran counter to the sentiments of his own father, because in the Islamic tradition, it is noted that his father used to manufacture the idols. Mm. And so he was eventually driven out from his people. He had to leave, and that itself is a sacrifice to make. He says, I'll go towards my Lord, and he will guide me. Then he, in the Islamic tradition, it is noted that he took his wife and child and settled them in the barren region that will become Mecca. Hmm. And that too
so
was a sacrifice.
So he took Sarah at the time.
Well, the Bible mentions Sarah and Hagar, and in the Islamic tradition, this would be Hagar. In fact, of course, the Quran speaks about both women. And the settlement of Hagar, according to the book of Genesis, was as a result of the jealousy of Sarah. Mm-hmm. But in the Islamic tradition, it is as a result of God's inspiration to Abraham. And he takes his family then and settles them there, makes a prayer to God that God will in fact cause this land to become a prosperous place. And, mm-hmm. and he asks God to make the hearts of people incline towards his family. And of course, as a result of the prayers of Abraham, we believe Muslims today are responding by going to the pilgrimage, and we continue to love his family and beseech God for his blessings on that family.
Mm-hmm. So what was Abraham thinking? Was he, you know, reasoning it out? Was he kind of following blindly what God was telling him? You said that he kind of left Hagar in the desert by herself with her child with nothing to eat. Some might say, well, this is a very foolish move for a man to make, right? He doesn't know what could happen to his family.
Yes, of course, it depends on the level of his conviction. You know, if somebody does something today that seems to be way out of the bounds of what is normal, and he says that God speaks to him and he is convinced that this is divine guidance.
Mm-hmm. Many people would laugh at this person.
Exactly.
Yes.
We might think that he's not entirely sane. With these historical figures, the weight of tradition is strongly in favor of them as divine conduits, as conduits for divine revelation. And so Muslims, Christians, and Jews with full confidence will hold that Abraham was the recipient of divine revelation. In the Islamic tradition, there is the specific idea that he, due to divine revelation, now leaves his family in that barren region. So in that case, his actions make perfect sense. Now, in retrospect, obviously, it makes sense because we see that his actions have led to the burgeoning of life in that barren region, that once barren region, and that now pilgrims from all over the world, some 2 to 3 billion pilgrims, gather in Mecca and its surroundings, commemorating the actions of Abraham and Hagar and the sacrifice that he was ready to make.
Mm-hmm. Was a similar sacrifice evident, you know, when he was ready to sacrifice his son? Was this also divine inspiration?
Yes, and this was the ultimate moment of sacrifice. The Quran says that you cannot attain piety until you sacrifice that which you love. Abraham saw in a vision that he was sacrificing his son, and this too is remarkable given our present consciousness. We think that this is grotesque. It's terribly wrong.
And murder, we understand in all religions, is reprehensible.
Exactly. But at the
much
time,
less murder of your child.
At the time, we must understand that people worship their gods by sacrificing their firstborn and their children to the gods.
Oh, okay.
Virgins were sacrificed into the Nile to make the Nile flow, as people believed. So when people were doing this for their gods, the test for Abraham would he be willing to do for God what people are doing for the false gods? Mm-hmm. And Abraham was ready to do that. So he saw in this vision, it is interesting that the Quran does not say that he received a specific commandment to do this. It is just that he saw in a vision that this is what he is doing. And he mentioned it to his son. The son was in agreement. And then he went ahead being ready to do that.
But was he reluctant to do it? Does it say anything?
The Islamic tradition shows no reluctance on his part. The Quran says that both he and his son submitted. The Islamic tradition, extrapolating from this and adding more details, shows that Satan tried to tempt both Abraham and his son, and also the boy's mother, coming to them one after another, pleading with them to not go ahead and do this. But each of them stoned the devil. And to commemorate their action of pelting the devil, Muslim pilgrims to this day pelt pillars to show that where we find the devil equally repugnant, and we recognize in our own lives that we will always be faced with devilish temptations, but we have to resist those temptations as Abraham, his son, and the boy's mother all resisted mm-hmm. the devilish temptations.
So what lessons can we learn then from Abraham's trust in God?
This is one of the most tremendous lessons, because here he trusted in God, he was ready to give his son and for the sake of God, and then God says to him, hold your hand, do not go through with this. You have fulfilled the vision, as the Quran says. God saddaqta ru'ya, you have fulfilled that vision. And then the Quran says that God substituted a tremendous ransom for the boy. In the Islamic tradition, it is mentioned that God gave an animal to be sacrificed instead. In the Bible, it is mentioned in Genesis chapter 22 that Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And that is the animal that was eventually sacrificed. So God gave Abraham his son back, and at the same time provided the animal that was to be sacrificed so that Abraham could complete his vision. And in the Islamic tradition, we eat from the sacrifice, so we benefit in all ways. Mm-hmm. And we see that Abraham trusting in God led to ultimate good.
Mm-hmm. And in sacrificing for God, we get something for ourselves as well.
That's right, because God does not need anything that we can offer, but he gives more back.
Thank you for that, Brother Shabir.
You're welcome.
We take a break. When we return, we look at the commercialization of Christmas.